On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there it is, the beginning of the third hour of our get-together. Good morning. It is the Bob Rose Show. 8:07 right now, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hey, and you've got top stories here. Anytime now, we could get an agreement with Iran. That's what they've been saying. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And that's what my parents used to say. And a lot of times, it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. All right. Welcome, my friends. Let's talk to our friend in Congress, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, fellas. I am great because I am back home in the wonderful Sunshine State, and we've been busy traveling around the district, seeing everybody, and that's just so much better than dealing with the clowns in Washington. So I'm doing great.
Well, speaking of the clowns, I guess on a positive note, Cori Bush is now out, but you've got this Al-Sayed, this Abdul guy, neck and neck, and he would face up against Mike Rogers. What do you think about this guy that he wants Medicare for all and, you know, abolish ICE, things like that?
Yeah, this is what's so crazy to me is Haley Stevens isn't exactly a moderate. I serve with her in the House, and she has voted consistently for some of the most radical policies. I mean, defunding police, massive gun control efforts. She is not what people would consider a moderate in today's Democrat Party. So it's pretty chilling when you think about the fact that this guy, Al-Sayed, who hangs out with people like Hassan Piker, who say that America deserved 9/11, he pals around with these types of people, and he's leading in the Michigan Senate race right now by 20 votes. And so that's a pretty large margin to overcome. I think they've got about 97% of the votes in. So a big break would have to happen for Haley Stevens to pull this one out. But think about how much money was spent on behalf of Haley Stevens. I mean, it was somewhere in the ballpark of $60 million. And that right there speaks to how radical the left has become. I mean, they are, whoa. I mean, abolish the Senate. He's running for a position of which he advocates abolishing. He wants to pack the Supreme Court. They want this Medicare for all, which yesterday I was in Ocala at a rally with Byron Donalds, my colleague, who's running for governor. And we were talking about how the radical left are pushing for Medicare for all. Folks, it wouldn't be the Medicare that every senior experiences. It would be a healthcare plan run by the post office, effectively. We've seen how poorly Obamacare has functioned, and they basically just want to put that on steroids. And so it's really scary that the progressives around the country are picking up steam in every nook and cranny and corner, not just in the Al-Sayed race, but one of the co-founders of the Sunrise Movement, which is one of the most radical ones, he just won his primary and will be taking on one of my colleagues in the House who it's a battleground seat. It's a purple seat. And so right now we're witnessing in real time the battle for the soul of the Democrat Party. And I know there's a joke in there, but I'm just going to let that one lie. It's really scary to think that we have this many people in the country that believe that we need to radically transform our republic into a socialist utopia. And they're saying the quiet part out loud. They're saying socialism isn't the goal. It's really communism that we're after.
All they have to do is read on the DSA website for themselves. Every American just go there and see what the tenets are of what their beliefs are and all these things they want to abolish and how they want to really, I mean, light the Constitution on fire, basically. So, I used to give some Americans the benefit of the doubt. They're ignorant. They don't know what socialism is. I think apparently a lot of them do, and they want it anyway. And then when it comes comes to Haley Stevens, it's funny that you say, yeah, she's no moderate, yet in every single news piece, they position her as the so-called moderate. Let me ask you about whoever faces, whoever wins, they're going to face Mike Rogers. Have you ever had any dealings with him? Because he was in the House for quite a while.
No, we didn't cross over. I believe he served with Ted Yoho, but I never had any dealings or crossover with him. And I think that, candidly, this will position Republicans better, because when you think about it, Americans, I mean, I know in my family, we aren't sitting around the kitchen table, being like, I need more progressive radicalism in our life. No, we're talking about paying bills. We're talking about Augie's future. We're trying to decide, do we homeschool? These are the things that I think normal families are having conversations about. And that is not what the DSA is focused on, right? They have this radical mission that is rooted in destroying the country, not building it up. And so I think that Mike Rogers will have a very good platform to run on if El Saeed becomes the nominee. So selfishly, I see that being a boost for Republicans. But for the country, where there are seats that are getting taken out that were held by Democrats that had just a fraction of normalcy, they're getting taken out by these absolute crazy people whose pronouns are they, them. And, they're coming to the House, and we are in the absolute fight to keep the House in these midterms.
Well,
and now the Senate's in play.
Yeah, and the midterms have been important, and it seems like they just grow day in and day out as to be more and more important. I told everybody, if you voted for Trump at least once, you definitely need to show up and vote and support Republicans, or this thing, it's going to turn into a house of cards quick with these radicals in there.
Yeah.
By the way, the polls I looked at say that, Mike Rogers would have a better chance against Al Saeed than Haley Stevens. So, you have that as a good possibility. Now, what about this? Did you read about this possible Trump assassin that was at the golf course and had weapons and all kinds of things?
Is this another one?
This was the one in California at Trump's golf course. And they busted this guy. Now, apparently they got some material, like some notebooks, but they're not divulging what's in it. But some are calling it disturbing, and I'm not sure what that means, but another nutbag out on the golf course.
But that's just it's so disgusting that this is where we have found ourselves in 2026. I mean, the man has survived three assassination attempts, and still to this day we have major leaders in the Democrat Party who refuse to call this out and condemn the violence. And when something happens, they need to be coming out and overwhelmingly saying, this is not acceptable. This is not who we are. And yet fewer and fewer of them are coming out. I hadn't seen that story. Unfortunately, I feel like they're becoming way too common. But you know what is crazy? And I think I told this story before, talking about how the radicals think that this is it's okay to engage in violence to settle political debates. I believe I told you the story. I was coming back from boats. I was on the little subway because I had broken my toe, and Maxine Waters gets in the train with me. And I had asked her about all these DSA candidates, these Democratic Socialists winning in their races. And, Maxine hasn't exactly been a real wallflower. She herself has called for some violence. And, we've called her out on that. I've talked to her about it. When I started talking to her about these people, she said, oh, they're nuts. They're nuts. And I'm telling you, when you've got Maxine Waters calling these DSA folks nuts, that puts it in perspective of how far left they really, really are. I'm really disappointed that we aren't seeing more people come out and just disavow the violence. It's not hard. You just got to have a backbone and a moral compass.
And hopefully the good Americans will come forward and we'll have some great results in the midterms. But we'll wait and see. We'll hope for the best. And folks, get out there and vote. And Congresswoman Kat Kamick, always a pleasure. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. I'll see you out on the trail.
All right. Sounds good. It's 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Marco Rubio says, hey, the Hormuz talks are accelerating. Things are looking pretty good. We'll follow up on that and all your top stories next on 97.3 The Sky.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Good morning. It's going to be another awesome day. Let's make sure 8:21 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Mr. Mustache, staying out of politics? Details on that coming up. But first, you want to get high, man? You want to get really high?
Excuse me?
32,000 feet, bro.
What's that?
That's what an airplane does.
Yeah.
Commercially, about 32,000 feet.
Right, right.
A Malaysian Airlines, they fly about 32,000 feet, give or take, right?
Yep.
Well, folks on that plane were just feeling an additional high, perhaps, when they come to find out that the pilot of that plane was smuggling 57 pounds of ecstasy.
A little side hustle there.
Wait, it gets better.
Really?
They believe that he was likely using those drugs while flying.
That's scary.
This is your pilot. Is everybody feeling cozy? Don't forget to share that blanket and that pillow. Yeah, and hopefully everybody is quite comfortable. Whoa!
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. Shocking surveillance footage released by Indonesia's Directorate General of Customs and Excise captured the moment the pilot arrived at the international airport in Jakarta on July 29th. After collecting his luggage, the pilot, identified as a 39-year-old Malaysian national with the initials MS, was flagged at a controlled customs checkpoint and had his bags pulled for inspection at the Indonesian capital. Yeah. Despite being directed to a fast-track lane reserved for aircraft crew, the pilot was still pulled aside for inspection. So maybe they were on to him. Yeah. And they pulled out a large bag that was stuffed with illegal drugs.
Busted.
You're from Malaysia. I don't know how many great opportunities there are.
Yeah.
But you're a pilot of an airline.
Yeah.
You've got a decent career path, I would think, especially comparatively, right?
You're above the average bear, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would you throw all that away? I know it's money.
It's money, but how stupid.
Yeah. And he could have had a long, possibly a long career ahead of him, but
he's got a long future ahead of him, potentially.
Well, he does have a long future ahead of him.
And he won't have to worry about mortgage or meals or things like that.
Won't have to make those silly announcements over the PA.
No.
We'll be arriving in about 30 minutes on the ground there. It's 87 degrees, humid conditions. Enjoy your stay in St. Louis.
He'll be having a stay.
Yeah. More than 70,000 ecstasy pills, 57 pounds worth. Oh, and then you throw in the 4 grams of methamphetamine.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, hopefully he was on that while flying and not the ecstasy.
I don't know.
Isn't it less hallucinogenic?
Yeah, but dying while flying is always a bad thing.
Yeah.
And fentanyl,
There's not fentanyl.
What'd you say?
Meth. Methamphetamine.
I misunderstood.
And ecstasy.
Well, he's going for the variety.
As long as he's just microdosing.
Yeah.
It might be.
Might be okay.
No, don't try this at home, people.
And then try it while flying a plane.
He told investigators he had been promised 50,000 Malaysian ringgit. Huh. Ringgit? That's their monetary system, apparently. And that's about $12,000 in American money. So he was paid 12 grand to smuggle the drugs into Jakarta and was instructed to check into a local hotel after landing to make the deal. He also told investigators he had previously delivered meth to another city in Malaysia and later transported 15 pounds of meth to Jakarta. Wow. So he's given it. He's given all the information up. Maybe he'll only do, 30 years. Hmm. Officials also seized a small bottle of urine, which they suspect that's what he would have used if he had to take a urine test. Clean.
Right.
The 39-year-old pilot also accused of being under the influence of narcotics. The pilot tested positive for MDMA, which is ecstasy. Oh, also methamphetamine and cocaine. Wow. He did so much cocaine that they didn't catch any in his stash because he did it all. This means he used drugs while flying to Indonesia. Hey, wasn't it the plane that disappeared? Wasn't that a Malaysian aircraft?
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, senior captain, I had to get this converted to dollars. You're looking $38,000 to $95,000 for a senior captain, first officer, which is co-pilot, 15 to 45. So you're willing to throw your career away for an extra $12,000?
Well, that's maybe close to a year's pay for if you're a junior.
Yeah. If you're a cadet second officer, you're like $11,000 to $15,000 a year.
That's not a lot of money.
No, it's not.
But so, maybe you don't need as much to live in Malaysia.
Well, that's probably true.
Fish is cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's that.
Anyway, he was at the controls of Malaysian Airlines flight from Kuala Lumpur with at least 170 passengers on board when he landed. Ooh, and they are not going to be happy with him. I did talk about one of the world's greatest mustaches.
You did?
Yeah, and that narrows it down. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Well, there are only a few.
Drove a Ferrari.
See, now that gives it away.
That's too easy?
Well, yeah, because you'd have to go down the list of, like, Sam Elliott, for instance. You know, he rocks the stash. This person you're talking about, he definitely rocks the stash.
Yeah.
So,
Tom Selleck, he was on CNN, and he says he stays out of current politics because as an entertainer, he doesn't want to anger half the country.
Smart.
And the host said, well, what do you think of the state of our country right now? He said, it's in a state of flux. That's a pretty safe one.
Yeah, it is.
He's also a military veteran that's been passionate about politics for decades, including a close relationship with America's 40th president. Selleck said, Ronald Reagan said freedom is never more than one generation away from an extinction.
Here we are.
So he might have tipped his hand just a tad bit.
And here we are electing socialists.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan was right.
Yep. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. More top stories on the way. Also, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson right here on 97.3 The Sky.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:33, and one of your top stories is a man was arrested with a cache of weapons. Rancho Palos Verdes, he was at the Trump National Golf Club there. And apparently he was walking around the golf course, taking photos, videos, and appearing to monitor security. And, yep, somebody was kind of wise to him and said, this guy probably doesn't belong here. Maybe we should talk to him. Mm-hmm. Well, they discovered a 16-round magazine on his person, loaded with hollow point ammunition, searched the car, found a loaded pistol with a round in the chamber with another loaded magazine containing hollow point ammunition. Then they were able to get a search warrant to search his home, found another rifle, which I believe in another news report said that it had been modified. It looked like an AR platform, but they claim it was modified, maybe making it full auto. They didn't go into detail. Gotcha. But also a pistol, body armor, and more ammo. So the investigation goes on. U.S. Secret Service, of course, is involved because Trump was supposed to be there, I believe, you know, 2 days after they arrested him.
I'd say checking out the security of where the president's going to be is a little suspicious.
Yeah. And apparently, I mean, because of the previous attempts, they're all over it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of times you'd have an advance team. They go out there, you know, they check for any weak spots or whatever, report on that. But it seems like I think they get like an advance team, and then there's people that never leave after that. In other words, always keeping an eye out. And this may have paid off, may have made a difference there. So that's good.
Yeah.
Good work.
Absolutely.
Like that. Are we making any inroads with Iran? Marco Rubio seemed to be pretty positive about it. So did the Treasury Secretary. The market liked to hear that kind of news and has gone bonkers and gone absolutely bananas.
Oil dropped. That's always
yeah,
good.
And oil dropped as well. So that's, you know, there's a lot of good things going on. And he said that the president claims a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and denuclearize Tehran is imminent. And Rubio said much the same thing. Bessent said maybe as early as today they could have some sort of an agreement ironed out. That's interesting because it just seemed like yesterday about this time Iran's like, what? We're not talking to the U.S. No.
They say that all the time, though. Yeah.
That's the thing. And I wonder why. Like, who are they trying to save face? Like, what are they trying to do? I guess if you say America's the great Satan,
yeah,
you know,
you
and you're talking to one of their top demons,
that's probably
I guess it doesn't look good, right?
Yeah. Little mixed signal there.
Yeah.
I
mean, you know, if they really believe that kind of thing, I mean, no wonder they're like a suicidal death cult because you wouldn't want the, you know, the great Satan of the U.S. to take your country over to call the shots or whatever. Right? I don't know.
Strange.
Hey, thanks to a Joe Biden parolee, an illegal alien, that was paroled into the United States. You know, that's how that worked during the Biden administration. Now accused of raping not one but two women in Salt Lake City.
Wait, Bob, is this the story we could do every day?
Yes, but it's a different story every day. That's what's so troubling about it.
Okay.
Yeah, but the same type of story, absolutely. Moise Santoron, illegal alien from Haiti, been arrested Salt Lake City Police Department, charged with two counts of rape, forcible sexual abuse, object rape, aggravated sexual assault, and forcible sodomy. According to police, this guy took a woman back to his apartment after being at several bars earlier in the evening. The woman alleges that this man raped her in another instance August 1st. A woman told police that she fell asleep at his apartment and woke up to him raping her.
Oh, wow.
On Tuesday, ICE officials revealed that he was admitted to the U.S. in September of 2023 thanks to former President Joe Biden's parole pipeline for Haitian migrants.
There you go.
He was only supposed to remain in the U.S. until June of 2025. In December of 23, the Biden administration gave him a work permit to hold an American job. In April of last year, the Trump administration terminated the Haitian parole pipeline, making him an illegal alien. This illegal alien has been charged with sexually assaulting two women. He was paroled into our country by the Biden administration and their Haitian parole program, which the Trump administration ended last year. ICE is asking officials in Salt Lake County to not release this criminal from jail and to turn him over to ICE custody so we can remove him from our country.
There you go.
Yeah. And again, like you said, we can do one of those six sad stories every single day.
Yep.
And yet it keeps happening. Yet you have candidates that are saying they want to abolish ICE, and they're actually receiving votes and in some cases winning.
Crazy.
If people have lost their ever-loving minds.
Yes, they have.
Yep. Wisconsin Court of Appeals countered Washington County's gun control rules for foster parents, rebuking the county for some of the controls and completely erasing others. This ruling, issued in Lafferty versus Pirtle, was handed down July 31st. The case centers on Brian and Katie Lafferty and their fight to retain their Second Amendment rights while serving as foster parents. What? You mean you don't suspend the Constitution because somebody's a foster parent? Wow.
Well, when it comes to guns, I can't have guns around children, Bob.
No, you have to keep them secure like you normally would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
The appeal was made after a circuit court granted summary judgment against the Lafferty's procedurally. They have been seeking to exercise their state and federal constitutional rights for 5 years, while the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families and the Washington County of Human Services Department have dithered, moved the goalpost, and changed the rules of the game every stop along the way. Yeah, so, you know, they were trying to follow what they believed to be the law, and then they just kept changing the things that they needed to do, and then this thing's worked its way through court, and apparently this court subsequently scolded the county for playing games with the courts over these changes.
Look at there.
So, yes, another victory for the Second Amendment.
Nice.
Which, you know, unfortunately, we have to continually fight.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, wait till these socialists take power.
Ooh.
They know if they want the American people to bend to their will, disarming them is makes that whole procedure much, much smoother and easier on their part. Yeah. A young first-time novelist from Nigeria named Jerry Falati was on the verge of receiving $2 million for his debut novel when accusations of AI usage ruined the deal. Now he's accused everyone of...
Oh, no. Don't go there.
Racism.
I knew it. You used AI to write your book. You didn't write the book, the novel. You can't do that. I mean, you can, but nobody's going to give you $2 million for it.
The novel is titled Call Me, I'll Hide the Body, and involves one of those characters that you call to clean up a murder scene.
Oh.
According to what we know now, Falati signed a deal worth $2 million or more after a 14-way auction. The book was set to debut in 2028. His own agent, Mark Gerald of Europa Content, killed the deal. Jerry Falati produced an incredible manuscript that dazzled us and the top publishing professionals around the world. Unfortunately, we are no longer able to authenticate how the manuscript fully evolved from origin to completion. During the submission process, we vetted the manuscript with Jerry for AI and felt trusting in his reassurance that it was written without utilizing AI as a resource in the writing or editorial process. We can no longer substantiate that, and we are withdrawing the book.
Wow.
The submission process was moving ahead. One editor wondered about the use of AI. Falati denied the accusation, so the agency decided not to run it, though an AI detection through an AI detection program. Later on, they said aspects of Falati's story changed, and that's when they pulled the plug.
Busted.
So, I mean, can you use AI to help make a story, change a story, direct you in any way? I mean, how does that work? If you've put the whole package together, but you've utilized AI for pieces or even maybe some characters or whatever, isn't it still your story or not?
I think using it as a resource is okay. Like for the idea, like, okay, how can I twist this around? How can I get an angle on this? But if they can detect AI by looking at the script, then that, I think, is a different thing.
Does that mean AI would write the same thing for someone else? Or are there so many, you know, different questions? You know, you query AI and you can do it. You know, you can get one response and then you can say, okay, make it funnier. And they'll supposedly make it funnier. Right. Make this darker. Make this scarier.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, I mean, that's one of the things it's capable of doing.
Right.
Three Black authors received major publishing deals this year, and all three later had their deals canceled or disrupted following suspicions about AI. There seems to be a troubling assumption that when a black writer produces work that attracts significant attention, the work could not possibly be done on their own. Meanwhile, there are popular white writers who have publicly mentioned using AI for their writing processes, and they're still doing fine. In my case, rumors began circulating, and within 6 hours, I had been dropped by my agency. Deals were paused, and the press releases were being issued. He went on to say that AI detection tools are widely known to produce false positives, and that the book went through readers, editors, and publishers without anyone suspecting AI. Basically, Filotti believes he's the victim of false rumors launched to keep a black man down.
I've heard that line.
He said,
before.
I'm as pro-AI as anyone, including its use in the arts. But if you're going to claim authorship of something, you must be the author. Publishers worry about AI usage because copyright ownership is vital in the world of publishing. And if authorship or ownership is in question, that can cause a world of problems. Imagine you're a publisher. You've paid $2 million for a book. One reason you pay that much is to own the copyright, which you see as valuable. Mm-hmm. And maybe not just for this specific book, future books, spinoffs, even a franchise. But then it's discovered you don't own the copyright, or perhaps you don't own the full copyright because AI wrote part of the novel. Then someone can come along and undermine your copyright and your sales by publishing their own version of Call Me, I'll Hide the Body.
Interesting. Didn't think about that angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it gets complicated.
Well, we're going to complicate society with technology as we move forward all the time. So, yeah.
Why don't you just tell AI exactly the kind of book you want to read, and it'll just print it and send it right to you.
There you go.
Okay. Problem solved. You're welcome.
Don't have to buy one.
Authors,
you're out of
find
work.
Another gig.
Yeah. Oof. Scary.
It is 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 9:05, Wilton Simpson, our Florida Ag Commissioner, is going to join us. And then later in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to gubernatorial candidate and Congressman Byron Donalds. It's all going on right here, 97.3 The Sky. Once the humidity clears just a little bit, which could be in the next hour, you're going to feel just a cool, dry touch of fall. Actually, truth be told, the weather's not really changing, just your attitude toward it. Here comes the fall. Yep, you know when it's fall. Some people go, oh, I get it, Bob, it's football season. You're close. But no cigar.
October, November, what are you thinking?
No. I'm thinking it's coming as soon as our friends at Starbucks announce the classic pumpkin spice latte returning.
So do you have friends that just go crazy over that thing?
Nobody that'll admit it out loud to me.
Because they know you'll ridicule them.
Yes, I would. That's a good word. That's what I would do. I would ridicule and cue them often. So instead, I'll just ridicule you.
Oh, great.
Because I know you, from time to time, stopped in for a little treat. I don't know that you are of the pumpkin spice variety, though.
I'm a mocha kind of guy.
You don't take a break in the fall?
No.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
It's all right.
It's just all right?
I'd rather have pecan.
I love pumpkin pie. Mm. Pecan? Yeah. I won't say no to it,
That's
but pumpkin's always been numero uno for me. I haven't tried I'm sure I've tried some kind of pumpkin spice, you know. I'm sure I've had the ripoff of it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
The cheap version.
Can't afford that.
The
Starbucks
non-$8 version, right?
Come on, man. The popular drink will be joined by new beverages and food items and a limited time merchandise collection. Oh,
see?
And they got merch. They got merch. I mean, that really means falls here when you got merch.
Cha-ching. Yeah, they're selling you something.
Okay. Don't be running out right now. It's not happening yet. All they've done was release the date that they're going to start doing it. And are you ready for the date?
People will put it on the calendar. You watch. When is it?
August 25th.
Oh, a couple days before my birthday.
20 days and counting down. And that's what they said. They said, we did this for Greg Cassidy's birthday.
Wow, that's crazy.
We're going to finally make him make the conversion over to the pumpkin stuff. But anyway, this sounds good. Pumpkin cream shaken espresso, pumpkin spice chai, and iced pumpkin cream matcha.
Mm-hmm.
Matcha, matcha man.
See, the only pumpkin we wait for is the pumpkin bread in October.
Ah.
See, that's what we look forward to.
Yes, we do. We eat our weight in pumpkin bread throughout the month of October, generally.
So if my friend Heather, who could be listening right now, start working on the pre-test early if you want.
And yes.
We will give our opinion.
We'll be your little guinea pigs for that.
Or just pigs. We would do that.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right. So I knew we could take that and use it to our advantage.
Yes.
Somehow.
We don't even have to do this pumpkin spice thing either.
I like that. Yeah. All right. Mike Rogers, he is the Republican in Michigan and, served Congress for a substantial length of time and served very well based on my recollection of him and, the way he voted. I don't have his record in front of me. But so now the Democrat Senator Gary Peters, he's stepping down. He announced that he wouldn't seek a third term. So that created an opening. Well, Rogers was free because he's not in the House anymore. He lost to Elisa Slotkin in 2024. So Rogers is available. Peters is done. And they could turn this Senate seat Republican.
Wow.
And they got a real good chance to do it. Rogers secured the election quickly after the polls closed in Michigan on Tuesday due to the fact that, he had no challenger. And yet this will be one of the most competitive U.S. Senate races in the upcoming midterms, according to the Washington Examiner. Here's the deal. What did they spend? $80 million on the primary.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot of money.
Yep. And, and that is... that guy, Abdul Al-Sayed, and he's going against, the current congresswoman there, and it's neck and neck. Greg's going to look up the latest on that one because they said, it was still too close to call. I don't know if they took a break, but I had that at 3:35 in the morning was the latest word I got.
11 minutes ago, they were still saying too close to call, unless something has changed since then.
Saeed, I think, has a really tight lead.
Yeah, a little bit. A narrow lead, as they call it.
The interesting thing that I had heard on the way into work was that she had won overwhelmingly. Stephen, she won Wayne County, which is the Detroit metropolitan area. And they said, and I'm still not exactly sure, but apparently a lot of the black voters don't really care for this guy.
He's leading by between 3 and 4 percentage points at this point, with 95% votes counted. That was as 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
So they're still counting. So
it's getting close to him, though, being the which for Mike Rogers and the Republicans is kind of looked at as the better of the two because it's a more
he's the worst of the two.
Distinct difference there,
Yeah.
Very clear difference, even though, Steve, we had Congresswoman Kat Kamick on earlier. She said, they position her as a moderate. She's no moderate.
They say it. I noticed that on every newscast I've watched today, they always use that word.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. What's their agenda?
I don't know.
Do they want her to be more electable or something?
Well, I think that they looked at some polls like other people did, and they realized that she has a better chance in the midterms in the regular general election than Al-Sayed does.
That would explain.
So that, they want to keep that seat Democrat at all cost. If they think she gives them an edge, then they're going to push and promote her.
That makes sense.
And he's taking up all that radical side of the room anyway and sucking up all that radical air.
Yep.
He's got abolish ICE and all that other ridiculous kinds of things. Medicare for all, which again, as Congressman Kamick explained, it's not like seniors. It's not like the seniors program. It would be different than that. She said it'd be like the post office administering your health care. And I think that's what most of us said. No thanks. The 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. Like I said, Wilton Simpson, our Florida Ag Commissioner, we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Byron Donalds. It's all coming up this hour, 97.3 The Sky.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.